Well, we just came off of Christmas, and we're entering into New Year. Talk to us about some of the alternative creations of St. Nicholas in the Christmas tradition.
Oh. Well, you know, here's where we can get into some real fun here. So we might as well just take a little journey here into the whole Christmas theme, because Christmas is a very fascinating story to unravel, to really understand how ancient religions affect the religions of today and the practices of today. And most of us can remember as children being told the story of Santa Claus, and maybe you're told that, you know, if you're good, you'll get presents. If you're bad, you might get a lump of coal. You can even remember maybe the first time you were told by a sibling or a teacher or your parents that Santa Claus wasn't real. And in the media lately, there's been an uproar of this school teacher who told her second grade class that Santa wasn't real. But today, you know, we can go a lot deeper than these sort of superficial histories and take a journey into the history of Christmas and Santa Claus, and sort of bring out what the myth is all about, and is it really myth, and what reality is there behind it. And I think by doing so, we gain a much deeper appreciation for the holiday season.
Okay.
And, you know, so up on the Coast to Coast AM website, image number one up there is a depiction of Jesus being born under a star, and this is a very common theme. And why is Jesus being born under this star? And the star, I think, is the star Sirius, which in image number two, directly below that, you can see star Sirius pointing directly at the Earth below the belt of Orion on the upper half of that split screen there, which where it says Christmas Eve. But I also think that Jesus is depicted there in that image. He's really being depicted as the sun. And why would the sun be important around the Christmas celebrations? And why would the sun be amalgamated into this character that we're told was a literal historical person named Jesus? And I think it's because the sun gives us food and clothing and shelter. You know, the photosynthesis in the plants becomes the medicines and inebriants and poisons and the lumber for the homes and fuel for the fire and things like that. And the sun has been worshipped around the world by many ancient cultures. And it just so happens that the sun dies and is reborn again at Christmas time. And to many people, that may sound completely absurd, but you know, what we have is really this this story of around Christmas of the death and birth of the sun. That's what the whole tradition was originally about. And you know, those who live in the southern hemisphere of our globe would experience these things in our summertime versus us in their summertime. So, but many Christian art depictions depict God as being born under a star. And is there a correlation between this and the events that are happening that night in the sky? And I think that these are things that are blatantly obvious when we get in and we really begin to, you know, well, first we have to lay our biases aside and our predisposed religious beliefs, and we have to look at things, how ancient peoples and cultures would have seen these things and how they would have marked time changes and calendar changes to themselves during the year. And so, you know, this split screen, which is image number two, is really showing this alignment, this marker point of what marks what today we call Christmas Day. But to the ancients, this would have been the real New Year's Day. And I think that that Christmas and New Year's have been separated into two and different distinct days to hide the correlation that this is really, Christmas Day is really the beginning of the new year. It's when the sun begins to head north again. And it happens directly underneath these, the constellation of Orion. You have these the three stars in the belt. They almost align with the star Sirius, who sort of barks the return of the flooding of the Nile at this time of year. Of course, it's right there, I believe, just in the southern hemisphere there. And then on Christmas morning, about 6:30 in the morning, the sun is born under this direct alignment. And people can look on software like Stellarium and things like that, and they can follow along looking directly east. They'll see this alignment happening right over right over there, the sky, on Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. So this is the death and rebirth of the sun, or the sun in the sky, is something that everyone can go out and see every single year. And you know, if we look at, if we consider what happens to the sun during the autumn or fall, from the summer solstice, which is roughly June 21st, until the winter solstice, the sun appears closer to the south each day, and the shadows change a little bit. You'll notice that, you know, the shadows in your house are a little bit different every day. And from summer to winter solstice, the days get a little bit shorter, the nights get longer, the days are colder. And from the summer solstice until the winter solstice, the sun falls literally toward the south each day. And then from the winter solstice until the summer solstice, the sun begins to rise more and more to the north each day, the opposite. But what happens is on December 21st, on the winter solstice, the sun doesn't just bounce right back to the north again. Okay, what happens is basically to, you know, from, you know, naked eye, for the naked eye, for people living 2,000 years ago, looking out to the east and watching this whole thing, it appeared that the sun actually stopped moving north or south for 3 days.
Just lingers.
It just lingers there, and that's what the word solstice actually means. It means sun stands still. So the sun would stand still for 3 days, and then on Christmas morning, on December 25th, after its 3 days in the tomb, it begins gradually to head north again towards spring and summertime, towards the fertility of spring and the warmth of summer and planting the crops and everything. And then this whole cycle repeats.
Mm-hmm. And going on to some of the other aspects where the idea of Christmas and the familiar things that go along with it, like Santa Claus, how has that been shaped over the years?
Well, Santa Claus is a very interesting story, and, you know, what I want to do is, I'm just going to go over some of my my notes here, because Santa Claus, over the years, really started, its earliest form is shamanism, and the modern form comes from Washington Irving and his Knickerbocker History of New York in 1809, Henry Livingston Jr., and Professor Clement Clark Moore, they wrote a story about Christmas in 1822. We have William Boyd, Susan Warner, Thomas Nast, and Harper's Weekly in 1863, Norman Rockwell, and then Coca-Cola. All of these organizations and people contributed to what is the current depiction of Santa Claus. But when we go back and we look at the story anciently, and in fact, image four up on your website is an image of Baba Yaga, or Grandmother Yaga, which is the it's a Russian like grandmother of the woods, and she goes out and she meets the three wise men, and the three wise men are actually, they just happen to be depicted there in image number three. And for those who question if there were three, because the Bible doesn't actually mention three wise men, but there were three, and the Catholic Church actually had a cult that recognized them in Cologne, but their names are Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, which are posted up there. And they, Baba Yaga, which is in image four, she goes out there and she meets these three wise men, and she's associated anciently in Russian traditions with giving presents to the children.
Okay.
So this is, you know, where we first have this first tie to this St. Nicholas sort of Christmas story of this character that gives presents to the children. And then from there, the story goes into the ancient shamanic symbol of Hearn, which is in image five on the right side there. And Hearn is sort of an amalgamation of the reindeer or the Siberian deer and a human figure. And what happens is this character, he sort of eventually gets morphed into this character that we know of, the Roman god Pan, who had he was like had a goat's head and goat's feet and a man's body, right? And he would go around with all this licentious behavior, and he would try and have sex with the women and be drunk and party and do all of these bad things. And so what we have here is a connection from this shaman story, this character of Hearn being and shamanism and inebriation with the mushroom and things like that, being brought forward into Roman times with this character or the god Pan. And then in the Saturnalian rites of Rome, they would have this orgiastic party for several days around the Christmas season.